Time for us to get the latest on emerging economies and particularly those in Asia. It's a great pleasure to welcome to the show Dr. Martin Davies, who's Managing Director of Emerging Markets and Africa and Dean of Deloitte Alchemy School of Management at Deloitte. Martin, always great to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Pippa. Good morning to you.
Big day in Hong Kong. Up until today, travelers arriving in that city have still had to undergo a mandatory hotel quarantine. I believe that's been scrapped finally.
But I don't even remember the last time I went through Hong Kong. It used to be my sort of hub in the region, but because of quarantine, because of COVID-19, obviously, it's put paid to that. And it's staggering to think that large parts of Asia, I think China and Hong Kong, are still relatively closed to global travelers. Last week, I was in Dubai and a few other places, and everyone is so over COVID. There's no testing. There's no vaccinations. They maybe glance at your PCR test from a year ago, but nobody really cares. The Asians, at least particularly the Chinese, remain extremely serious on this. And Hong Kong finally, somewhat argue belatedly, has scrapped its mandatory quarantine period, which was previously over 3 weeks in a hotel after arrival, self-funded. Whoa. It was then 3 days, and now they've scrapped it and said, well, okay, no more hotel quarantine, but you do have to be careful going around, no groups of more than four people. Wearing a mask, and you must sort of monitor yourself while you're staying. So somewhat liberalization, but still pretty strict, relatively speaking, and Hong Kong really has been closed. A large number of flights have all been canceled because no one's traveling there. And considering where it was, I think 2019, as sort of one of the premier hubs of a global economy, that is now starting to open again. But I'm not sure when most of us will be traveling to Hong Kong anytime soon because of connectivity issues and still maybe arguably over caution with COVID-19.
Well, I mean, I know Cathay Pacific saying immediately we're ready. We are putting on extra flights. They're adding more than 200 pairs of flights from October onwards, both to regional and to the longer haul destinations. So they're saying we want you back. But of course, we've seen the chaos with all airlines around the world when they did reopen, Martin. It hasn't exactly been smooth traveling.
No, and very expensive as well. I mean, flight costs are seemingly tempering in the last couple of months, perhaps, but early part of this year is super expensive. But perhaps the biggest loss for Hong Kong is not just obviously the revenue of tourism and everything else, but according to our own figures, 113,000 people have left the city since mid-21, according to government figures. And these people are saying, well, we've refused to live in constant lockdown almost.
Yeah.
We're moving somewhere else. And that's what they've done. They've literally sort of not voted, but left. And that's a significant loss of talent for the economy.
Okay. From Hong Kong, we moved to India, and a name I hadn't really encountered before, but it's a name I think we will all become familiar with in the coming weeks and months, because it's a name that's just overtaken the name of Jeff Bezos on the list of the world's wealthiest men. Tell us a little bit more about Gautam Adani.
Mr. Adani, who'd really heard of him? We've all heard of the Tatas and the Ambanis and others, but who'd heard of the Adani Group until, unless you're from India, perhaps, this last week or so? And of course, the markets are incredibly volatile, and billionaires are moving up and down the list almost daily. Well, for a period last week, the world's second wealthiest man was Gautam Adani. He has $152 billion fortune, made him the world's second wealthiest man. And a portfolio of companies spanning coal mining, data centers, airports, renewable energy. And his wealth has soared dramatically over the past year, just as American tech companies have arguably slipped. And I think, Pippa, the sort of undercurrent of this is, China's really on the back burner. A lot of foreign capital is sort of getting cool on China for more geopolitical reasons, et cetera. But India's really of ascendancy. And companies like Adani Group, I mean, his latest endeavor is investing $70 billion into clean energy and saying that sort of cooling the planet down is necessary and can be one of the most profitable businesses over the next several decades. And this is something which the Indian government is certainly pushing significantly under Modi is energy transition, and something which I think many economies, particularly this part of the world, could really embrace in a more rapid fashion. And Adani is sort of hitching his wagon to renewable energy push and, sustainability and all these good things. Mm-hmm. And his wealth is surging as a result. So sort of he was not quite in the ranks of Elon Musk, but not too far off, and certainly displacing Bezos and a couple of others for a few days at least last week.
Okay, so the name to keep an eye on, Gautam Adani of the Adani Group. Now, speaking of transitions to alternative ways of fueling our lifestyles, let's talk about what's going on in the motoring industry. And a Vietnamese manufacturer who are planning to deliver electric vehicles in particular, looking to sort of position themselves as a big, or we could say a major player in the global automotive industry.
Yeah, it's staggering to be even, think back, I don't know, 15 years or so. I mean, who would really think that the most desirable car they'd want to own would be a Korean car?
Yeah.
But look at the likes of Hyundai, Kia these days. These are phenomenal automotives and displaced many of their sort of global established competitors, be they German or even Japanese. Then the newer cars, even in South Africa, the Chinese vehicles, which 5 years ago even people were saying, well, Chinese cars, what's that about? Well, maybe the next wave is cars from Vietnam. Yeah. And this is something which is quite staggering. There's a company called VinFast. It's a company launched in 2017, has ambitions that in the next 5 to 6 years or so, maybe less, will be producing 1 million vehicles a year.
Sure.
Now, that really is a staggering. If you think back, it's taken what a company like Volvo to, to get to that sort of level, not even get to that level, over almost 100 years. And the Vietnamese look to do that in 5. So the group is interesting. The deputy CEO is a guy called Michael Johnson, who used to work for Ford here in South Africa.
Oh.
So we certainly, South Africa really always has been a great incubator for global automotive talent, from companies like BMW, Rolls-Royce, Ford, Nissan, and many others. But this VinFast company, I've seen pictures of the cars, look quite good actually. Pretty expensive, not cheap vehicles, moderately priced.
Yep.
And looking to transition now to be a full EV company and also setting up a factory, looking to intend to start production in 2024 in North Carolina in the US.
Yes.
With on the back of some significant incentives. And thereafter looking to establish a factory in Europe to sell into the European market. So it significant ambition. And again, I think what one of the sort of quieter success stories, unless you're in Asia, is how economies like Vietnam have really come through COVID period incredibly successfully and are really starting to, not just starting to, but really are absorbing shifting manufacturing capacity from China into Vietnam. If only from multinationals to de-risk the China factor, for example, but also the industriousness of Vietnamese people really is coming to the fore. And even surprisingly for some in the automotive industry. So watch for space. You may be driving a car made in Vietnam or at least a Vietnamese brand. Who would have thought that a few years ago?
As you said,
sometime soon.
As you said, it's something we've spoken about on my lunchtime show about the growth and growth and growth of the Chinese brands in the South African market, largely based on price. And could it be that one day soon we'll be driving a VinFast vehicle instead? Dr. Martin Davies, thanks so much for your time. Managing Director of Emerging Markets and Africa and Dean of Deloitte's Alchemy School of Management.